going to talk about the man who was born blind. And as we do this, I want you to remember the words of that song. I was blind, but now I see. As we begin today in our message, we've got our reminders of every single person you encounter in life, including yourself. Number one, we are certainly all spiritual people. As spiritual people, fallen away from God and sin, we're sinful people. And by the grace of God, although we are sinful people, we also are savable, we are redeemable, and that was accomplished on the cross with the final sacrifice provided when Jesus came into the world upon His incarnation and birth at what we call Christmas. So, with that little introduction, our encounter today is found in John chapter 9. So, turn to John chapter 9. And I want you to start with me at verse 1. This is the account of the man born blind. Part of what is fascinating about this story is the very simple and succinct summary he gives of his encounter with Jesus. And it revolves around the last seven words of the song, Jesus or Jesus. The last seven words at least I just sang in that song. As we look at John chapter 9, a couple of introductory remarks. Number one, this story of the man born blind is found only in John's account. You don't find the story in Matthew, you don't find it in Mark, you don't find it in Luke. Now, Jesus did encounter other blind people, and He healed other blind people, but this is a very unique encounter with this man being born in this way, being born blind. So that's the first item as we turn to John chapter 9. Now, some of you, in thinking ahead, because you've been here a while, as I've been here a while, and you're thinking, I do not see any verses attached to the chapter. Which ones are we going to cover, brother? All right, I'm going to scare you to death right now. You ready? How many verses are in John chapter 9? Like 40-something? 41, 43, something like that. All right, so let me scare you to death and then try to encourage you and tell you it's going to be okay. Somehow today, we're going to cover 41 verses. I know. Even Larry said, I ain't been here that long. That don't sound good coming from you. So sometimes it takes us 30-plus minutes to cover 5 verses. Depending on, you know, the intensity and depth of the verses. And today, we're going to get through 41 verses. Now, I promise you, we will not be here past supper time. I will promise you that. No, it's honestly going to move quicker than you think. Because it is a narrative. And we're going to go right through the narrative. I'm going to put a few comments in there as we go. But I want you to see and hear and read the entire story of this man born blind. Now, here's what I've discovered in John chapter 9. I've discovered in John chapter 9, in these 41 or whatever verses it is, that there's a lot of controversy in these verses. And so what I want to do, I'm going to give you the story, the account, the encounter, by looking at it in terms of three controversies that revolve around this man born blind. So let's introduce it with the first controversy in the first 5 verses, and then we're just going to go right through the verses and comment as we go. And I do think when we get done, you're going to say it indeed was a miracle that he got through those verses. You know, some of y'all, you don't want to admit it. Last Sunday was your favorite Sunday you've ever been at this church. You know why? Because somehow we got to the test and we were done a little before noon. I know, you can't believe it. It happened last, and you jotted it down. It's in your Bible that on February 20th, 2022, he got done before noon. And you didn't want to make a big deal out of it because you felt guilty. But you liked it so much. You know, I know, I've been there. So I gave you a present last week, but hey, just the way it worked out. All right, verse 1. Here we go. Controversy about the man's blindness. The Bible says in chapter 9, John records it. Jesus passed by, and when he passed by, he saw a man which had been blind from his birth. And his disciples, they asked him this question, kind of out of nowhere here. It doesn't even really fit the context all that much. And he says to him, Master, we've got a question. All right, who did the sinning? Was it this man, or was it his parents that caused him to be born blind? Pretty strong question. Well, Jesus replies in verse 3 and says, It was neither. Neither the man was guilty of sin, nor were his parents guilty of sin. But today, we have come across this man, I'm kind of adding here, we have come across this man born blind so that you can see the works of God being made manifest or revealed in him. And then he adds commentary. I, speaking of Christ and his work on this earth, I must work the works of him, speaking of his Father, God the Father, I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Interesting imagery there about daytime, nighttime, working, forces of darkness and all of that. And so then he makes one of his I am statements in verse 5 and says, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. When I consider a world of darkness, and when I consider this man who cannot see, you're going to understand through this encounter that I provide light as a very source of light. Now here's what happens in the start of the encounter. There is controversy in verse 2, and the controversy involves this man's sin that led to the issue of blindness. So it starts off and says that in that day, Jesus goes by, and I want you to notice something different. Most of the time, a person in need cries out to Christ. You know, he's walking by, and it's like, Son of David, have mercy on us, or, you know, please help me, help my servant, come follow me back home and help my servant. And in this case, we see no indication that this man was crying out to Jesus as he walks by, but it does say Jesus saw him. So he sees this man, and the Bible says as he initiates this encounter that the man was blind and had been blind from his birth. This is what we call a congenital condition, okay, from birth. Now here's what I thought was interesting. The Freelance Star does not know what I'm preaching on any given Sunday, I promise you. Amen, Penny, right? The Freelance Star does not know on any given Sunday what I'm going to focus on. And this morning, I try to read, keep up with local stuff. And this morning, front page story, Freelance Star, if you saw it, and if not, that's fine, there is a picture that about rip your heart out. It's a little boy. I don't know the age in the picture. It may or may not say here. But a little boy, and upon birth, they diagnosed him with two heart defects. And so after, I think, about 2 months of age, they put him in surgery. It was something, I don't know the medical term, something with the aorta. Oxygen's not getting through his body like he needs to. He's born a little extra purple. They start testing and discover the issue. But then, when that issue arises, I think it said that the heart, I mean, just a miracle of God's creation. The heart compensates for it. There'll be a special, there's kind of like a hole there, and it helps get oxygen between this section and that section. But the problem is, that hole is going to start to close up. Usually after about 6 months of age, a baby then goes through the surgery, they fix the issue. But in his case, it was closing up too early. So at 2 months of age, they've got to take this baby from his mama and take his baby into surgery. They fixed him up. I can't remember the age now. I want to say he's like walking at this point and things are good. But here's my point with it. The article says it was from birth, right? This is a congenital condition. So in Jesus' day, when this man, it's realized that he cannot see, it was something that happened congenitally. From birth. And the Bible makes that very clear. And it's going to become kind of important in the story. And you'll see later why I say that. But I want you to think about this. So this man, now he's gone through baby stages, gone through toddler stages. He's gone through the adolescent years. He's gone through the teenage years, I believe. And I don't know what his age is. I'm just, for some reason, my little heart says, I think he's in his 20s somewhere, kind of a young adult going through all of this. Now I want you to think about being born from blind. I mean, blind from, that was a good one. Blind from birth. That means, and listen to this, that means this man has never, ever seen the face of his mother. He has never seen the face of his father. And you know how grandparents are. The man has never seen the face of grandma or papa. He ain't never seen their faces. This man, being born from birth, has never ever seen the lake just north of Jerusalem we call the Sea of Galilee. He's heard about people putting their fishing boats in there and dropping their nets and catching fish. He ain't never seen the lake that they've talked about. He ain't never seen a flower. When they talk about the flowers in the fields growing so pretty here at springtime and stuff is turning green again, he's never seen that. He has never, ever seen the temple courts. And yet he's been in there. And Jesus has been in that temple. He's never seen any of this stuff. And one day, as he is sitting there, and the Bible tells us later in the story, all he can do as a blind individual basically is sit and beg alms. That's all he does. He's known as the beggar, the blind beggar there, sitting there just outside the temple, maybe just inside the temple. And as people go in and out all day long, he just sits there as a blind beggar saying, "Somebody please help me. Somebody please give me so I can survive." Now that's the man we're talking about in John chapter 9. Jesus saw him. He's blind from birth. And what happens is, in verse 2, it creates a controversy. And I think... that almost every day people saw this blind man. These disciples saw this blind man. The religious leaders saw this blind man. I think it brought about conversation every day. And they wanted to know something. Who sinned that this poor guy was born blind? They were equating a disability in life with the presence of some particular sin. Now, theologically speaking, every disability in life, every dysfunction in life, every hurt in life is caused by sin. It's called Genesis chapter 3. It's called the fall of man. Sin enters the world. Death enters the world. Tornadoes enter the world. Hurts enter the world. Sorrow enters the world. Deformities enter the world. Yes, it is caused by sin, generally speaking. But nowhere does the Bible say that a particular disability or struggle in life is caused because of a particular sin on the part of the individual or a person closely connected to that individual. Some people think that. And I'm not saying sometimes it's not. If you decide to abuse your body with sinful activity and illicit substance, at some point it's going to catch up to you. And yes, we're going to say, you know what? You abuse your body in a sinful way and you are reaping the consequences. We understand that. But when a little baby is born with a heart defect, a little baby is born with blindness, the inability to hear, whatever the case may be, it is never then appropriate to try to figure out who is a criminal here as a sinner that's brought this to pass. So they are asking that question, discussing that in a controversy, as they're considering that every single physical problem is because of sin. Now here's my problem in verse 2 with the controversy. Why is it in life they were more concerned about our curiosity and our controversies than we are the poor person suffering? That's my problem in life. So here's what Jesus answers. When you look at the next verse, he says, "Well, guess what? I disagree with your question. The issue is not who has sinned. The issue," Jesus says here, "in a fallen world, we've got an encounter here where you're going to see the power and works of God." So that is his response in verse 3. He then goes on in verse 4, connected to that, and says, "By the way, because of where we are today and this man born blind, we're going to work while it's day right now." Right? Okay? "I'm going to do something right now, and here's what you're going to learn in the process." In verse 5, you're going to learn, "I am the light of the world." Jesus says, "I'm not going to get involved in your theological controversy, but I'm going to display the power of God." It starts with that controversy. And here's the second half. And this is a big old chunk of the story. And we're going to move through it quickly, I promise. So after he talks about and deals with the controversy regarding the blindness and whether that boy had sinned even before his birth, which is kind of a weird thought, but they kind of thought that some, or it was the parents, Jesus says, "Now let's deal with the healing." And again, it brings controversy. So here we go. Jesus had thus spoken in verse 6. John says that day when he saw that blind man, he deals with the first controversy. He then spat there on the ground. He made clay of the spittle. He took that combination of dirt and spittle and places it, applies it, anoints it, applies it to the eyes of the blind man. with the clay that he has made and says to that man in verse 7, "Now you need to go wash in the pool of water there, which is at a place called Siloam." And John says, if you translate the Greek, the word there means sent. And the man goes, he went his way right then, therefore, he washes off his eyes, washes his face, and when he came back seeing. That's the healing. That is the miracle. Now, oftentimes in Jesus' ministry, he would heal the blind. And we read that sometimes he would use saliva. He would take some saliva and apply it directly to the eyes, and they would wipe their eyes some, and there would be ultimate healing there of the blindness. This one is different, because never do we read in other encounters that Jesus actually went to the dust of the earth and made some clay or mud and then applied that to the eyes of the blind. Now, it's interesting here when you realize in creation, according to Genesis chapter 1, guess what we were made of? Dust of the earth, right? And now Jesus reaches down and takes some of what you was made of, by the way, mixes a little bit of saliva in with it, and takes now and puts that mud, I'm going to call it, puts that clay over his eyes, and then he says to him, "Now go wash your face." Why did he tell him to go wash his face? Because, I mean, honestly, he usually just speaks a word and they're healed. But he says to this one, "Don't stay here. Go." So the dude gets up, obeys immediately, does what he's told. I don't know if he had to kind of feel his way to the pool. Maybe somebody walked with him and guided him. But he gets there to the pool, and it says in verse 7, that when he got there, he washes the mud off of his face. And when he does it, he realizes, hey, I can see. Now, isn't this interesting? Instead of the miracle taking place right there with all the Pharisaical leaders around, Jesus says, leave this place and go over there where the pool of Siloam is, and let's let the miracle take place there. Now, he may have some reasons for that because of the controversy that is about to ensue. So the man does that. So in verse 8, man comes back, he can now see, and all the neighbors and friends are gathered, and here's what they did. They which before had seen him that was blind, they started to ask, "Is not this that man who sat and begged here in the temple every day? Is this really that guy?" And so they started with their controversy, trying to figure out who he was. In verse 9, all the people that knew him, they said, "Indeed, this is he. Ain't no doubt about it." But others said, "Hold on, I don't think it's really him. I think it's a lookalike. I think it's somebody that looks like him, but it's not really the man who was blind and who was begging." So the man then speaks up in verse 9 and says, "Listen, y'all, it's me." The miracle was so amazing that they were accusing somebody of mistaken identity. There is no way this is the same man. Let me ask you a question real quick. And I gotta go fast. I'm trying to go fast, y'all, because we got a lot of verses. But let me ask you a question, though. Or maybe make an observation. When this man whose eyes were touched with the saliva-produced mud, when this man goes and ends up coming back and is now seeing, you know what they noticed? They noticed an immediate difference in this man. Now let me ask you a quick question, kind of stagnant, and we'll move on. Now let me say, I believe when a person gets saved, and I think when their eyes are unblinded and they see spiritually who Christ is and they get saved, I'm just going to tell you, I think there ought to be a difference in that person's life. Amen. And I think when people show up and they see that person, they see Candace before she got saved. And no, Candace didn't have to be a bank robber and all that stuff before she got saved. But I'm going to tell you this. I think people should see something different in your life and the way you talk and the way you act and the places you go where they wonder, is this the same person? And so this man comes back. He's seeing. And they're like, is this even the same person? He says, hey, it's me. And here's their question in verse 10. They said then to this man, how in the world were your eyes open? Now, if you were counting, there's going to be four times in this encounter that people ask that question. They can't believe it. So the neighbors say, how in the world were your eyes open? And so he answers. And here's his testimony. A man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, hey, go over there to the pool there in the place called Siloam, and I want you to wash your face. And so he says, all I did, I went, I washed my face, and guess what, y'all? I started seeing again. And they said to him, okay, that's pretty out there. So where is that man? And the poor beggar, blind beggar, said, I don't know. He sent me, I went, I don't know where he's at right now. So then guess what they did? They then bring him to higher authorities. Into verse 13, they take the man, bring him there to the Pharisees, religious leaders. It's the man who before had been blind, formerly was blind. And then it adds in verse 14, and this is going to be a real issue here. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh boy, you remember that a lot of times in Jesus' ministry, you get hit on collisions with the religious leaders because of the Sabbath day, and they've added so much of God's Old Testament law and the Ten Commandments that they're now breaking the Sabbath and don't even realize it, and they can't stand Jesus because he does things on the Sabbath. You know what they're thinking? They said, hold on, buddy. You can't make mud on the Sabbath. That's work. Oh, hold on, buddy. You can't rub that mud in that dude's eyes. That is work on the Sabbath. Oh, hold on, buddy. You can't heal on the Sabbath. If y'all want to get healed, come on Monday, Sunday, Saturday. I don't know what day you come, but don't you come on Saturday. That is the Sabbath. And it's going to cause an issue. So John says it all happened on the Sabbath. So then they get there. And the Pharisees in verse 15, when they get there, they ask for the second time, how did you receive your sight? And so the dude's got the same story. He takes off the middle of the verse and says, well, here's what happened. The guy, he didn't give all as many details recorded this time. He put clay upon my eyes. I went and washed my face, and now I can see. Now, you would think, as the religious leaders being tight with God and so excited when God works on behalf of hurting people, you would think they'd be praising God, want to throw a party, put it on the front page of the paper, and let y'all know how great our God is in Israel. You know what they do? Well, look at the next verse. So verse 16, they get into theological controversy. And some of the Pharisees said, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know who this guy thinks he is doing this healing, but this is not in the text. I'm going to add English grammar. It's bad grammar. But I can tell you what, this man ain't from God. Right? This man is not of God because he does not keep the Sabbath day. Now listen to me, folks. Jesus kept the Sabbath day. But he didn't keep it according to their man-made rules on the Sabbath day. And that's where the issue came into play. He's not keeping the Sabbath day. And others said, but hold on. There's controversy. Hold on. I understand that he's kind of broken our rules when it comes to the Sabbath day, but others said, but hold on. How can a man, if he's truly a sinner, how in the world can he do such miracles? And they keep on fighting back and forth. And there's a division among them. So then they turn to the blind man, verse 17, and they said to him, all right, we've got some issues about this man. So what do you say about this man? This man that you claim has opened your eyes. And here's what his response. Listen, I ain't as smart as y'all. But at the very least, he must be a prophet then. Because they're still trying to figure out who he is. But verse 18. When the man said he must be a prophet, the Jews, the religious leaders, did not believe concerning him. Now here's what they do. They start looking at the blind man. They say, we don't believe you. We don't even believe that you've been born blind and that you've received your sight. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to call in your mom and daddy. Now, this is how bad it is, right? And we know you and you claim to be born blind, but now we think you've been deceiving us all along. So they get out their phone. They start punching the letters and they say, Mr. and Mrs. Blind Man, born, you know, man born blind. I don't know what his name was. Mr. and Mrs. Man born blind. Could you come meet with us for a moment? We got a question. And so they get there and it says in the text that they get to the parents and they say, we want to find it from the parents. of this kid, this guy, this young man, this one that thinks he's received his sight. So then in verse 19, they get there to the parents, and for the third time, exact same question, they say to the parents, "Is this your son?" Now that's going to be a pretty easy one to answer, is it not? I mean, for the most part, right? For the most part, we all remember who our son, who our daughter is. Even later in life, I guarantee you, I'll be able, and you'll be able to recognize who your son and your daughter is. So they get to the parents and say, "Hey, is this your son?" That's question number one. Okay? Now number two, "This your son," or "It's your son." Okay. "Is he also, was he born blind?" Like, y'all should know, you are the authorities here, because as soon as he was born and he starts getting to a place where you can realize something ain't right, we didn't now diagnose that there's blindness. And the third question here, and this is where they keep asking. All right, if this is your son and you say he was born blind, then how in the world is he now seeing? The parents answered. Verse 20. Okay, we can answer every question you've got. Number one, we know this is our son. Number two, we know that he was born blind. But number three, by what means he is now seeing, we do not know. Now, were they stretching the truth there a bit? Maybe, but I'll tell you why. We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know who's opened his eyes. We just don't know. But I'll tell you what, he's old enough. He's of age. Why don't you ask him? And he'll speak for himself. He said, now why wouldn't they tell him? Well, then you look at the next verse. These words the parents spoke because, now watch this, they feared the Jews. Isn't it a bad place to be in life when you're in a church or even a synagogue or a temple, whatever you worship, and you're at a place in life where you're scared of your religious leaders? I can't imagine that. If I go out there to Encompass, I don't know if they would allow visitors right now. If I go up to Encompass and I've known Dave Brent for over 17 years, and if I walk into his room and Dave's like, "Oh, no, 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 get away! Scared of you." So the parents are scared of the religious leaders. But here's the reason. The religious leaders, the Jews, had already met together, made an agreement that if anybody ever confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was a Christ, they would put that person out of the synagogue. Threat of excommunication was a very serious deal. If I'm a member of the synagogue in the Jewish community and they kick me out, they put me out, they excommunicate me, man, you're breaking me off from all my family, from my friends and all the blessings of Judaism and my relationship with God. And I don't want that. So the parents said, we're not going to take a chance being kicked out of the synagogue by answering that last question. But I'll tell you what, he's old enough, he's a young man, ask him yourself. So then, again in verse 24, they get the man that was blind, they said to him, "Give God the praise, speak truthfully to us. We know that this man Jesus is a sinner. There's no way he can be from God. There's no way he really did this to you as a sinner, breaking our idea of the Sabbath." And so the man answers in verse 25, and I really like the way he answers. He says, "I'll tell you what, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. I am not going to speculate on theological controversy. I will leave that to the heavyweights and they can talk about it all they want. I ain't got a clue if the man is a sinner. But let me tell you something I do know." Oh man, I like this. And this is Lisa's song. Last seven words of that song. The man says, "Here's one thing I do know. Whereas I was blind, now I can see." Now whatever the word you want to call that, all I know is I couldn't see. Listen to me. All I know, I had never seen my mama's face before. All I know is I had never seen that lake up there in Galilee where they talked about the boats and the fish before. All I know is I had never seen a flower bloom before. And I don't care if the man was a sinner or not. Y'all can try to figure that out. But here's my testimony. There was a time when I was blind. And right now, I can see. That is one of my favorite statements in all the Bible. I was blind, but now I see. Now guess what? They still don't get it. So in verse 26, they said to the man again. Now here's a fourth time. Four times they asked the guy the question. What did he do to you, that sinner? How did he open your eyes? And you know what I think? I think at this point, by the time you get to verse 27, I think the guy's a little bit tired of it. I think he's a little bit impatient. And he starts to speak with some sarcasm. Look what he does in verse 27. He says, all right, if y'all want to play this game, I'll play along with you. I have told you already, and you would not listen. Do you want to hear it again? I can't change the story. I'm not going to change the tune. Do you want to hear it again? What happened? And then he adds this a little bit of a dagger here. So by the way, do you want to hear it again so you can start following him too? Don't you know how mad that made them? Is that what you're after right now? Listen, it took a whole lot of courage for this man to stand up to the best educated skeptics of the day and say, listen, I don't understand Christology. I can't explain for you the sacrificial substitutionary atonement on the cross that's coming. I can't explain for you the expiation of sin and propitiation of the wrath of God towards sinners. I can't explain that to you. But I'm going to tell you this. Y'all can argue that stuff all day long if you want to. All I can tell you is I was blind. Now I can see. I think this dude is from God. So do y'all want to follow him too? Is that why you keep asking this question? Oh, they got so mad. They got so mad. You know what they said? Verse 28, they reviled this man. They didn't find anything funny in his reply. And so they responded and said, all right, buddy, you might be a disciple of this nutcase, this sinner, but for us, we only follow Moses. And you know what you learn in Jesus' ministry? They were not following the law of Moses. They follow law they had made up based on the law of Moses. And so they reply that way and they said, now listen, we know for sure that God spoke to Moses, right? First five books, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, man, it's in a whole separate category to itself. That's what we follow. We go with what God says. We know God spoke to Moses. But for this fellow, this guy from Nazareth named Jesus, we don't even know where he's from. What's wrong with y'all? Where have you been living? What rock have you been hiding on? You don't even know where he's from. So the man answered and said, okay, we can keep playing this game if you want to. I kind of like this guy. We can keep playing the game if you want to. So the man answered and says to them, and all this controversy, sarcasm again. He says, you know what? This is a funny thing to me. You are the best that Judaism has to offer. I mean, when we play the Jerusalem version of Jeopardy, y'all are on there every single night. This is blowing me away. The dude says, listen, here's something marvelous to me that you don't know where this man is from, and yet he is worth the works of God and open my eyes. And then he starts teaching them some theology. Verse 31. Here's what he says. He said, listen, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Ain't no doubt about it. We understand that. But if any man be a worshiper, okay, one who is following God, faithfully striving to please God, and does His will, we know for sure that God hears that man. He's trying to help them see. Listen, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but it makes sense to me he must not be. Because if he were, he couldn't be doing this from God. So he continues on. It says in verse 32. Now it's like, not only look at where we are now, let's go back into the past. The dude's a genius dealing with these experts. Since the world began, okay, Genesis 1, creation. Since the world began, kind of a little proverbial speech here. Since the world began, now listen to this. Was it not heard? In other words, it has never been heard that any man has opened the eyes of someone who was born blind. Now, it may be the case. Now, watch this. It may be the case. You've heard of some that's healed blindness. But the guy says, hold on. I'm talking about healing blindness from one born that way. It's never been done before. Never has anybody ever healed one born blind. So here's my conclusion, verse 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And so they answer. In all this controversy, they slam him one final time and they say, okay, buddy, you were all together entirely born in sin and you're trying to teach us? We've been to seminary, right? We've got the doctoral degree and we've studied the Torah, okay? We've got the law of God memorized inside and out. And you, a little scumbag of the earth, trying to teach us? And here's what they did. They cast him out. Excommunicated him from the synagogue. They tried to separate him from any relationship with God because he would not agree with their theological expertise. And I'm going to tell you again, that is a very painful experience. Let me throw one more thing in there because I got to hurry up, okay? I got to throw one more thing in there. If you are an expert in the Old Testament law, in the Old Testament, you know what you should have known? Let me just throw it out there quick. You should have known that when the Messiah appears, one of the clear indicators of his appearance is he will heal the eyes of the blind. Isaiah the prophet, over and over, I've got the verses listed, over and over says, when the Messiah comes, he's going to heal the eyes of the blind. And now he gets here on the stage doing something that no person has done at any point in previous history, and they still can't get it. They should have known it. What is so hard to see here? And this guy is arguing with them and trying to get them to see what's going on in the controversy. Here's the last one. And we're going to move through it quickly as we can. Now they start attacking the dude's faith. Okay, they've already dealt with the fact, listen, we think you're lying. You weren't really born blind to start with. All right, now it ain't no way this man healed you because he's a sinner. Can't be from God. And so now, with his faith, there's more controversy. Verse 35. Jesus, of course, hears everything that's happened. He knows they've cast him out. And he went looking for him. I like that. See, in the first verse, he saw him. And now I like in this verse, he goes looking for him again and finds him. So he said to the man when he got to him, and I like it too, he doesn't engage in the controversy. He just asks God this question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Now, the emphasis is on the word you. It doesn't come up in English. It's like you yourself. Okay, forget the religious leaders. Now listen, sir, do you, right now, do you believe the Son of God? And the man very honestly answers the question and says, who is he, sir, Lord, so I can believe on him? And Jesus reveals himself completely in verse 37 and says, you've both seen him, and it's one right now talking to you. How has he just seen him? Because his eyes are like restored, right? He can see. Can you imagine? I think it was Fanny Crosby who realized this as well. One of the first faces she'd ever see in heaven be Jesus' face. Can you imagine a dude just got his eyesight? I don't even know who he's seen yet. And he's like, hold on, you've seen me and I'm speaking to you. And here's his response in verse 38. And I'm going to tell you what, verse 38 is a turning point in this man's life. The man responded in faith and said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him right there on the spot. Now watch the progression. If you want to take your little finger and let it do the walking, verse 11, the man called Jesus just a man, right? He's got the name of Jesus. Verse 17, he says, all right, I don't know who he is yet. He's a prophet, though I know that. All right, verse 33, continue the progression. Okay, I know he's come from God. Okay, whoever he is has come from God. And now we get to verse 38. He acknowledges, you know what? He is a son of God. He is Lord. And there at this point in his life, now watch, he not only receives spiritual or physical sight, he also gets a spiritual sight. And he recognizes who the Messiah is. But here comes more controversy. Don't you just hate it when they won't leave him alone? So Jesus says in verse 39, makes a statement, says, listen, now it's kind of for judgment I've come into this world. Okay, I came to save the world, no doubt about it. But here's the problem. When I come into the world speaking truth on behalf of the Father, it's going to turn some people away. I've come for judgment that those would see not so they can see. And those that think they see so they may be made blind. Jesus came to kind of banish blindness and open our eyes. So here's what happens. Some of the Pharisees are still there. And they're not done yet. Right? They're not satisfied yet. So they bring on more controversy regarding this guy. So some of the Pharisees are there and they heard these words. And they're like, hold on. I think he's slamming us now. Right? They heard these words, said to him, hold on. Let me paraphrase. Are you saying we're blind too? Are we blind also? I mean, we consider ourselves to be the enlightened ones among the Jews. Are you accusing us, sir, of spiritual blindness? And Jesus, I don't think, ever raises his voice. I don't think he ever gets too, you know, he gets righteously indignant, but doesn't raise his voice in like anger to. And he says in verse 41, well, here's the truth of the matter. You're not going to like this either, but if you were blind, if you recognize your spiritual blindness, we could take care of your sin, right? You wouldn't have sin issue right now. But no, that's not the way you do it. You're claiming we see, okay? You are claiming a spiritual knowledge, and because you keep claiming that you're superior and you've got the knowledge and direct line to God, he says, therefore, your sin remains. And they walk away. Now, here's what I'm thinking. I think I'm right on this. I got a feeling that if they admitted their blindness, he would have opened their eyes too. But they wouldn't do it. So we get to the end of the story. We don't know anything more about the man born blind. We read nothing more about him. I'm going to assume, based on this encounter, that he surely followed Jesus very closely and he witnessed for him at every opportunity he had. Wouldn't you? If someone's come along and I've never been able to see and he changes my life and I can now see. And listen, I don't care what y'all call him. Now watch this. What did Lisa sing in the song? I once was blind, but now I see. And that's all he's got at this point. So I give you two little statements here as I usually do. I try to always do this. And then we shall wrap this up. Number one, encouragement alert. You ready? Jesus still opens people's blind eyes. Every time a person gets saved, you may not think about it this way, but every time a person gets saved, blinders are removed from the human eyes. Satan blinds the eyes of the unsaved. And when a person gets saved, he removes the blinders, and it's like, oh my goodness, how did I not see this before? It's a spiritual blindness. And then number two, and I think this is more for us to save people, I think we can still be guilty at times. So I like to put it this way, that yes, we can see spiritual truth if we're willing to accept it. But if not, we're blind. At Mountain View, I've got a funny conviction that this here is the Word of God. Not many churches do, okay, and sometimes not many pastors do, unfortunately, and you can look them up all day long. But I just got a conviction in my little heart, mind, and spirit that this here is the Word of God, right? Amen. I treasure this thing called the Word of God. And that's why at Mountain View, we love God, love people. We're supposed to do that, but I want to make sure we prioritize our love for this book and Scripture. Now let me tell you something. If this book then tells you something in your life that you don't like, right, kind of puts a spur in the side, a little stone in your shoe, and it kind of irritates you, you don't like it, you've got the same choice you've had when you got saved. You either can accept that as the Word of God and truth, or you can say, I don't think so, and then you're spiritually blind. I mean, honestly. You're putting blinders over your eyes, and you're saying like the Pharisees, no, I know better. Right? Superiority of knowledge here, I know better. So the truth of the matter is, yes, we accept what God says. But if we're not willing to accept that, then we're spiritually blind. And the danger is, as we continue to reject truth from God, it forms a stinking callus. And it's not on your finger from shoveling too much, it's on your heart for not believing enough. Right? And a callous heart's a dangerous place to be. So the blind man, wonderful story, great healing. But it warns us, right? Spiritual blindness. Jesus, light of the world, and He still does uncover blind eyes today. Now let's pray as we close and respond to the text. And as we bow together, this is your opportunity here at Mountain View each Sunday to pray, to reflect in light of the passage. And you know that this altar area symbolically is here for you to meet with God if you need to bow before the altar in prayer. You are so welcome to do so. If not, that is fine too. But I want you to think on what we've looked at today. Consider your life. And if there's an area there where there may be some blindness going on, you know that if we accept the truth of God's Word, those blinders fall off. But it may also be, as you are seated here today, or if you're listening online at some point, that you're not saved. And for some reason, God's got you listening in or here today. And you know that hell is real, heaven is real. And the only way to go to heaven and miss hell is have faith in Christ. Like this blind man said, Lord, I believe. It's a simple believing. It's a trusting in what Christ did on the cross. So your response today is all God is looking for now. May be a need in your heart that has nothing to do with the story of this man born blind. But you're here today. You've got a prayer concern. And I just know God is good. And He'll listen. He'll act. Trust Him with it. So let's just take a brief moment, silently pray and respond. And then I'll close us in prayer and we'll be dismissed. So, Father, thank You now for hearing our prayers of response, prayers of thanksgiving for Your goodness and opening blinded eyes and maybe even our own testimony that, yes, indeed, I was blind, but now I see. So, thank You for the salvation testimony in that line and then for ones today that have laid before You specific concerns, needs. You know our every weakness as we started with in the song, so You know. And so, Lord, work in these areas on behalf of these concerns and help us as we leave today and go back into a world that oftentimes hates You. Help us to keep aware of the fact that it is quite easy to be blinded spiritually. Protect us from that. So, Lord, bless us now as we go. We love You. And we worship You, and we lift up to You our prayers together in the name of Jesus, the One who opened our blinded eyes unto salvation. Amen.